got the whole team behind me and we're ready. And I get down there and I stand at the top of the course and it all deflates. I think, oh my God. It had nothing to do with arriving. It was who I had to become in the process. It's the journey that matters.
Hello and welcome to Outer Spaces, a podcast dedicated to empowering designers and contractors in the outdoor living space. I am on a mission to scour the globe to find and interview the most brilliant mindset coaches, sales strategists, and business leaders alive, and present them in a way that landscapers, hardscapers, and outdoor living pros can immediately put them into use to grow and thrive. On Outer Spaces, we are passionate about breaking the chains of small mindsets and helping contractors just like you take control of their businesses and their lives. My name is Joshua Gillow, and through my 27 years of dirt under the nails experience, I look forward to sharing tips, strategies, and other contractor success stories here on the Outer Spaces podcast. Now, let's get on with the show. Hello, and welcome back to the Outer Spaces podcast. This is your host, Joshua Gillow, and this week we have one heck of a treat for you. Randy Dietrich stopped in here to our studio, and we had a live interview with him. Zach and I had a chance to really talk to this man. This man is a local legend in our area here in Pennsylvania. He has done some remarkable things, from being an Olympic downhill skier to starting one business and selling it and then opening up a vineyard here in Pennsylvania that in a short amount of time, he went to the top 13 vineyards in the United States. And his one main focus is customer experience. In the middle of two cornfields in the state of Pennsylvania, in the middle of a rural area, he's built something that most would only ever dream of. And I wanted to find out how he did it. And boy, does he get deep into mindset and his story. His story is just so powerful. So if you guys are out there in any way struggling or just want to be inspired by this incredible man that we're so blessed to be able to spend the time with, listen on, because this one here is probably one of my favorite episodes we've ever shot. Enjoy. So Randy, I love having you on the show here. I've been excited for a long time to have you on the show and unpack how you did it. And you'll learn more, listeners, you'll learn more about what I'm talking about as you go along. He's built one of America's most incredible wineries, right? And experiences across the country. And I know it's top rated. I know a lot of people come in the middle of cornfields.
Salersburg, Pennsylvania.
Exactly. Like in the middle of
Sonoma.
But that's what blows my mind. I remember first time coming to the vineyard and my wife's like, yeah, they're going to go to this vineyard. I'm like, we don't do a lot of wine tasting. I'm like, what are you talking about? You got it. You have to. I've been hearing so much from my patients about this. You got it. We got to go see what it's all about. So we went over there and I just looked around and I'm like, how is this guy making any money? I'm like, I'm looking around and I'm like, what?
Right? This be?
I'm like, he's got to either be mad or brilliant.
That's pretty funny, right?
But then you start looking, and I didn't know you at the time, right? And I was like, wait a minute, there's got to be something. He understands something that I don't, right? And it's about that experience, right?
Yeah.
Like you're creating an environment for people to come and live their best life, and it happens to be in a vineyard, right? And I'm like, man, this guy's brilliant. And then when I saw you're a Maxwell guy, and I was like, all right, I understand where it's coming from. Like, I'm starting to get that. And then, so what I'd love to do is talk to you a bit about your story, your upbringing. How did you become this, you know, one of the, well, I think you're what, top 10 or top 13 vineyards?
It's number 13 in the country. Wild, right?
There's a lot of vineyards in the country.
The list goes Napa, Salersburg, Napa.
But again, in between two cornfields in Pennsylvania, how do you do this? So I'd love to start out, before we get there, with your story. I know that your mom is a really integral part of your story.
Huge.
And I'd love to start in there and kind of go through the ski racing and like you're kind of like coming up through and how you found your passion. I know you were in pharmaceutical for a while, right, and all that, and how you end up in a winery.
Yeah, crazy. I never had any wine or any alcohol until I was 31. And I mean zero. Not a sip, nothing, zero. Wow. You know, so it's crazy. I got a winery. You know how the world needs balance? Well, there it is, right?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, growing up, we lived in Saw Creek, up in Bushkill, right? And my mom worked at Outdoor World on 611, the campground membership. Yep. And when she left my dad, I was 7 years old, my brother was two, and we lived at the women's shelter in Easton. And that's where it all began. That's the first night she sits us down, she looks in her eyes and says, boys, from this day forward, if you can think it, you could write it down. And the moment you wrote it down, you set a goal. And if you set a goal, you can achieve a goal. That's how we're going to live our life. We had no choice. Wow. My mom was a force, guys. I mean, there were goals everywhere. And I remember the first night, I looked at her and go, what's a goal? Never even heard the word before. But she was so dramatic that evening. I'll never, you know, those plastic chairs they have in the women's shelters. I remember the feel of it sitting there, of it on my back, and her going, "This is the day everything changes," and it did. it changed in such a big way. I remember that a couple nights later, we were out in the streets of Easton, and I had found a penny on the street. And I'm like seven, right? How high can I throw it and catch the penny, right? And my mom looks at me and goes, Randy, save that penny. We might need the penny. Well, how high can I throw it and catch it, right? Yeah. I lost the penny at some point during the day. That evening, we're at a phone booth, right? Downtown Bethlehem or Easton. And she turns me into such a panic. And she's like, Randy, where's that penny you had? I remember looking and going, I lost it, Mom. My mom had 24 cents. She was going to cash in for a phone call at one of those phone booths. Hmm. The things that stick with you as a kid, the small things add up to big things. There's a saying that says, if you take care of the pennies, the dollars count themselves, right? There's a saying in business, it doesn't matter how much you polish the underside of the banister. That's not true because everything counts.
Yeah.
Everything counts. At Blue Ridge, the driveway is selling the wine. The moment you pull off the road and you enter the property, everything is designed to build to the experience of stepping up to that tasting bar and going, wow, I cannot believe what I'm feeling right now.
Yeah.
It's not really about the wine at Blue Ridge.
Yeah.
It's about the feeling that they get. Mm. You know. So Mom moved us to Salt Creek from the women's shelter. She worked at Outdoor World. She was a sales rep. She sold campground membership, straight commission, high risk, high reward. She was betting on herself. Some days she made money, some days she didn't make money, right?
Yeah.
It was the best lesson though, because some people say time is money. Time is not money. If time was money, any time spent not making money would be a waste of time. That's not true. Time's not money. Basically, my mom, some days she'd work all day and make nothing. Other days she'd make $1,000. Then there's also the cancellation thing. They could cancel and you got the rejection of it. So you learn that aspect as well. Mm. Because my mom was in it, I got into it. And that basically teaches you communication skills.
Yeah.
I remember realizing early on, the better I can communicate and connect with the person, the better my paycheck will become.
Yeah.
So the goal is connection. And I realized early on, authenticity counts. Do you know, I just learned this today, the most searched word last year was authenticity. On Google.
Really?
The most, right. What's this world searching for? Authentic. They want it real. In a world of AI and all this computer generated stuff, you want to feel something.
Yeah.
You know, and when you know, you say if you want to touch their mind, touch their heart. You touch their heart, you really touch the person. So everything we do at Blue Ridge from the beginning is designed to add value to people's lives. And it's always about the experience with people you love. Because yeah. we coming out of Salt Creek, in the resort business, I was straight sales, you know, Resorts USA. I worked in Lancaster, fun stuff. Campground membership too, right? My job was doing upgraders. I was an upgrader. So basically, I would drive from this area to Lancaster on Friday after school, 10th grade, do my sales, drive back home, and do that every weekend. In 10th grade, because of that, because of the communication, I was able to make $79,000 as a 10th grader. Me, right?
Back in the day.
Right, back in the day. I mean, yeah. It's funny. I told Matthew that the other day. He goes, do you realize what year that was? I go, well, it was around like 1994.
Yeah.
He goes, that would have been like 200 grand today.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, I didn't realize it. But you know, to a worm and horseradish, the world is horseradish.
Yeah.
And I was the worm and that was my horseradish. That's all I knew. All I knew was that if you can think it in your mind, you can hold it in your hand. And the better it gets in here, the better it gets out on the outside. Mm. That's all I knew. And growing up with my mom, that's all we knew.
Yeah.
It was, I get chills and goosebumps that flow over me because I was the worm and horseradish. My mom pummeled us with setting the goals. You could accomplish anything you set your mind to. And that's how life was. Do you know, it wasn't until I started Star Medical Equipment and, you know, I was a business owner, had a payroll. I remember going to the accounting office going, what is this unemployment thing going on here? What's this unemployment tax? Mm-hmm. He goes, you're kidding me? You don't know what unemployment is? I'm like, no, what is that? Why are they taking money out of check for unemployment? He goes, are you serious? He goes, well, if people don't work for you, they can collect unemployment. I'm like, for not working? I couldn't get my head around it.
Yeah.
And here I am, raised by a single mom with cancer, and it wasn't an option.
Yeah.
It wasn't an option.
Yeah.
You know, it was that, if it's to be, it's up to me. If it's hard, do it hard. If you're afraid, do it afraid. That was how life was. And there was no other options.
Yeah.
You know, so mom got us in ski racing. And because my mom had to work a lot, she dropped us off at Shawnee every day because you're going right by, you know, Saw Creek to Bushkill, mm-hmm. right? And she'd drop us off. And I skied. There's this rule called the 10,000 hour rule. You ever hear this?
Yeah.
Malcolm Gladwell, right?
Yeah.
I probably had 10,000 hours of skiing in by the time I was like 12 because she'd drop us off at 7 a.m., go to work, pick us up at 10 o'clock at night, right?
Yeah.
So I skied all the time. So because of that, that's where I got to race the World Cup for the United States. Led to ski racing, right? Fun stuff. Takes you around the world. That led to Blue Ridge Winery. Because Tiff and I, we're in this little town called Inakin, Italy, and we're at a World Cup. We're leaving the race, going down to the bottom of the boot, and we're driving through vineyards. And remember, I had zero, any wine, any alcohol, nothing ever. And she looks at me and goes, I wonder if we can grow grapes at the farm. I'm like, I don't know. I've never had wine. So I come home, I Google, what's wine? You know, so not kidding. I thought Chardonnay was a flavoring, you know? I come home and I'm thinking, wow, this could be fun. I already own the farm. Yeah. And I already live there. And I'm thinking, wow. So I hired a soil scientist to come out. We test the soil. I'm like, that could work. Great stuff. Got the right slope, got the right elements. And, you know, in today's world, there is no excuse for not having knowledge. Knowledge is free. It's accessible. Everyone's got a phone in their pocket. You got to get it from your phone in your head. But the difference between knowledge is I can take a book and I can download a book and download the information in my head. But understanding is actually, how does it really work?
Yes.
I tell people, knowledge is I flick the switch, the lights come on. That's knowledge. Understanding is I flick the switch, I understand how electricity connects it and makes that light go on. Yeah, right. That's where a lot of things get missed in the world. I have downloaded and listened to every single book that exists on winemaking. I have no education on winemaking, but I've taught it at the local college, right? Because learning is learning. It doesn't matter if you're in a college classroom or you're in your car driving. 1 + 1 is always 2, no matter where you're at. Yeah. So I tell people, never stop learning. If I want to know where your life is going, I'll just look at your daily activities and see what you're pouring in your head, and I'll tell you exactly where you're going, right? Yep. People say, I want to be a success, I want to do this. They're going home playing video games. No, you don't. You want to play video games.
Yep.
If you want to be a success, you will pour yourself into learning and knowledge. It's all free. It's all out there. It's crazy. Yeah, yeah. And think about a book. Someone will spend their entire life of gaining knowledge. They'll sit down and write a book that takes like 2.5 years to write. Believe me, I know this stuff now. Mm-hmm. And then someone can come along and give you $20 and download everything you learned in 20 years for $20, just like that.
Yeah.
It almost seems like cheating, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
I mean, and today with the audiobooks, you'll never catch me not listening to audiobook, ever. Ever, ever, ever. Every minute of driving. Don't waste the time, right? So we go from the resort business to the medical business. The medical business was fun for a while until competitive bidding was starting to kick in.
Okay.
You're in the medical field. You probably remember this. Back with Medicare, they started doing this thing where medical companies had to bid against each other for the business. Mm. And at Star Medical, our slogan there was relationships matter.
Yeah.
Because that, you know, so in the medical business, relationships can go away over the fast pacedness of it all, like get in, get out, serve the patient, keep going really quick. But the relationships is really what matters the most.
Yeah.
And I would give away a lot of equipment, like a lot of equipment. Nurses knew that if you had a patient that didn't have insurance, call Randy, he'll make it happen no matter what. Because I would always end up with extra equipment and I saved it in a room and they would come collect it and so on. But then I got a letter from Medicare saying you're not allowed to do that. I'm like, this is crazy. So then Randy gave the equipment away, not Star Medical. So then it worked, right?
Okay.
So anyway, so when Medicare has changed the rules, I thought, we got to get out of this. Well, it's still okay. So we literally decided back in the day, we go, let's sell the medical business, have a family, build a winery all in one shot. And we did. We sold it off. A guy named Warren that worked within the company bought it from us. We carried back the mortgage. And all of our future, all of our business, financial future, was hinging on the winery making it. So basically, you picture it. We sell it off. There is no other business to go to. You know, it's kind of one of the things where you jump and then you build a ground to land on in midair. Mm-hmm. And we spent all of our money. We had like 700 grand, spent it all down to zero. Then I borrowed another like 700 grand just to finish it because we didn't even have a driveway at that point. And meanwhile, Tiff got pregnant. So Maggie's about to be born. And Maggie was born 3 weeks before we opened the winery. So you can imagine the pressure, right? Mama's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The winery's going up. I'm like, oh my God, Randy. I'm thinking, what have I done? Like, Tiff's pregnant. I got no money. I got no job. I'm crazy in debt. Well, good luck to Randy, right?
Yeah.
And we had to make it. I remember, this is why I tell people, make sure you marry someone mentally stronger than you are. Mm-hmm. This way, when you fall on your face, they'll have the strength to stand you back up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for my wife, guys, we would not be sitting here.
Wow.
Blue Ridge would not exist. I would have been in the vineyards crying to myself, going, it's over, we're done, we're cooked, we didn't make it. It looked like it was so dark you couldn't get out of the hole. Mm. But there's a saying, the darkest moment of every day is just before the sun comes up.
Yeah.
And there it is. It was just before, I get chills.
Yeah.
Because it was just before the sun came up and Blue Ridge was about to open that it looked the darkest. And all of a sudden, I remember our opening day, my brother calling me going, does it work? I go, we made $400 already. He's like, oh my God, it works. Oh my God. You know, I was like, it's going to work. You know, and from day one, the goal of Blue Ridge Winery is to add value to people's lives. Mm-hmm. It's never been about selling wine. And if you look at my Facebook page, we very seldomly ever advertise wine.
Yeah.
You notice that? Hardly ever. It's all about the people, the relationships, the time they spend there. Because every study in the world, they do all these studies. What makes people happy and joyful? Researchers go out and they collect all the data comes back, and it's never wine, right? So it's always about the relationships, it's people together. So everything we do is designed around that. That's why people go to Blue Ridge.
Yeah.
It's about how they feel when they get there.
Yeah.
That's really it. You know, and Blue Ridge is, it's, you know, my role there now is to get obstacles out of the way of its growth.
Yeah.
You know, what do I need? What's inhibiting it, and how can I push that border back a little bit?
No, I love that. I love that, dude. And you can feel that when you come to the winery. You can actually feel that. You can feel that it's all about the people. I love your sayings are all over the place. Mm-hmm. You've got the underground experience. Yeah. I'd love to hear about how that came to life.
Yeah.
You know, and even what that is for the listeners. I know that you do like a mindset stuff there too. And like it's not just about selling that in the product, obviously. This is so much more than that. So could you go into a little bit more about, I mean, you mentioned about the experience side, but going even like to go the next level.
Yeah.
You're taking it to a whole other level.
Yeah. No, there's not another winery in the world doing what we do with the underground experience.
Yeah.
That has gone on a global scale. You know, over 11,000 people have done that. So we've been doing it for 5 years, and the room only seats 40 people.
Yeah.
So 40 people at a time, 11,000 people later, and it's a show that's been sold out since we started it. Like right now, you can get tickets in like January, February. We also do a couples edition underground experience in the month of February. It's all about relationships, and you know how you get a winery since like the classic thing is they pair wine and cheese, wine and nuts, wine. Yeah. Yeah. That's not that.
Yeah.
That's more like wine and life. So what we do is I bring them into a room where I've created this room that's completely underground. It's all painted black, trimmed in gold. And then I turn these trees into chandeliers.
I love them, yeah.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah,
literally weeping cherry trees that come out of the ceiling. They're giant. It takes about a year to build one.
Yeah.
And it's pure torture. And you can see that it's like very meticulous to build. And you walk in this room and the feeling is spectacular. You sit down and usually people don't know what they're in for. Yeah. They think they're in for a wine tasting. Yeah. And walk in. And what we do is there's five wines, and we pair each wine with things like hope. We talk about trust. We talk about enthusiasm. We talk about preparing for success in our life rather than repairing the past. And by the end, everyone floats out of the room.
Yeah.
I mean, it is something – anyone that does that, they always leave and they go, I need to bring everyone here.
Yeah.
It's – inspiration is oxygen to our soul.
Yeah.
And the world is really missing inspiration today.
100%.
You know, I mean, it's just – they just – I mean, I should read. I get two emails today. I could not believe what they were writing to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's really something. But you know, the underground experience is a way for me to add more value to people's lives. I can touch their spirit.
Yeah.
I can give them a glimpse of hope. Yeah. People say to me, they go, you know, I feel like the world's a better place now.
Yeah.
Because you really, the world is what we see. It's not, you know, we don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. And if we can give people a brand new perspective on, you know, if you look for the good, the clean, the pure, the positive, you will see that.
Yeah.
And if you look for the negative, you will see that. And the more you look for, the more you receive, the more you receive, the more you are, the more you are. And down, you can spiral downward or spiral upward.
Yep.
The choice is ours.
Yes.
But human nature spirals naturally downward. Ever since the fall of man, Adam and Eve, spirals downward. I remember when we were first planting the vineyards, being frustrated about how when they ate the fruit, how... You know, God says, okay, so Eve, you're gonna have pain giving birth, and Adam, there's not gonna be rocks in the soil. I'm like, darn it. Yeah. You know? But it is what it is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, underground experiences, I work every week around 10 hours to prepare for that. Even though I've presented it, I can do it in my sleep, guys.
Yeah.
Every week, there's something that makes it better. And it's a constantly morphing show. I think the most times that someone has done it is 17 times now.
Wow.
And every time they go, totally different.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the goal, every time.
My wife and I have done the underground experience where you pair the wine and the food and you had a little catered like that way. Yep. We didn't get in the mindset ones yet. That's on our list to do.
Mm-hmm.
We've done that so many times. And it was always so great because my wife is not somebody who ever really liked the taste of fish. But when she comes in, it's like, well, there's Bresano on the list or whatever, right? And she's like, is that a fish? And she eats it. She's like, I like that.
So it's awesome.
You don't know, but you've actually opened her up now to seafood.
Neat. Yeah.
Because she's like, well, I have to eat it. And it's just fun because each time you go into a different experience, you know, the sommelier is talking about how this pairs to that and like the psychology of it all. And it's just really a fun experience. But I'm very much looking forward to the mindset side as well.
Yeah. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
It's
so good.
Yeah. We open it. The show opens with gratitude.
Yeah.
You know, gratitude is the highest expression. And,
yes.
You know, it's, you'll love it. It's so much fun.
What's amazing is that you've taken mindset and mixed it in with wine.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually it's like, come and get drunk, buy our wine, leave, whatever. Like, you've like, all right, well, the wine's here,
mm-hmm.
but now you're mine.
Right.
Now we can start talking about how to make your life better.
Right.
To make your life more, you know, impactful. And that's just so powerful.
You know, in all of business, I tell everyone, people go, how can I be more successful?
Yeah.
I was very simple. Do what you can with what you have right where you are. That's it. And creativity is connecting the unseemly connectable dots. Creativity is seeing what everybody sees in this world by thinking what no one has thought in this world. Mm. Because everything is to be seen out there. There's no secrets.
Yeah.
It's one of those things like, if you want to do what someone did, just do what they did and you'll do what they do.
Yeah.
If you want to go somewhere, find someone that's been there, and when they're on their way back, ask them how to get there,
yeah.
and they'll tell you. Yeah. It's so unbelievably simple. But in order to do what someone did, you'll have to think the way they thought. And isn't that the challenge? That's what we're talking about here. Yeah. How do I train the brain to get the life that I want to live?
Yeah.
And when you think about it, when we're born, we were 8 years old, we are born with a mindset of success. Everyone is.
Yeah.
Everyone is born a winner. I tell people, my mom, when I was a kid, she'd say, Randy, when you were born, you're nothing but a pile of potential. You know? Couldn't even hold your own head up, right? You know? A pile, and what you do with it is completely up to you.
Yeah.
And that's how she would end it. And it's up to you. It's it. You're just a pile of potential. And she'd remind you every day that you were born with seeds of greatness. And it's your job to basically give those gifts back to the one that gave them to you.
Yeah.
All the people that are unbelievably happy and joyful and successful in this world, they have taken their gifts that they're born with, and they've used those gifts to add value to the world around them.
Yes.
And what happens is you simply get paid for being who you are. Imagine that.
Imagine that.
Right.
Yeah. You don't have to be anybody else.
Right.
You're already more than enough.
Right. Right. Exactly. Really something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, whether you're in the business of, you know, landscaping, you're in the business of drywall hanging, creativity is connecting the unseemingly connectable dots.
Yeah.
You know, was there a day where drywall will be replaced with something else? Probably.
Yeah.
Someone will think of it. Someone will think of some new product that'll go, wow. Remember the day houses used to be made of drywall?
Yeah.
Right.
Crazy. So good. So tell me about the ski racing. You mentioned about being Olympic grade and all that and traveling the world doing that. So tell me a little bit more about the ski racing and what you learned during ski racing.
Yeah. Wow. So, you know, ski racing is one of those things where you hate it and you love it,
yeah.
type deal. So like, I love the competition of racing. I love to compete. Growing up, I remember the first time I ran gates. You run gates and you hit the gates with your arm, mm-hmm. and I was so black and blue and bruised up, and I couldn't even move my arms for days. But I couldn't stop doing it. I was so hooked on it. And you know, it's the 10,000-hour rule in action. I did it for more than 10,000 hours. So by default, I became a World Cup racer. That 10,000-hour rule, by the way, I am not the most talented skier in the world. All that matters when it comes to success at that level is the effort. Talent doesn't matter. It's the effort you put into it. In fact, I tell people, talent can actually work against you. Because how many times do you see a talented person rely on their talent and they don't put the effort into it, and then the person that puts the effort beats the talented person,
yeah.
right? Effort always trumps talent, right? Every time. So, and it depends on how hard you want to push it. Well, I always want to push everything to the max. If we're going to do a winery, we're going to build the very best winery in the world,
yeah.
right? If we're to ski race, we're going to go to the World Cup. And ski racing, I never made the World Cup when I was a kid. I was 18, 19. I was always the guy on the bubble. I never quite made it. And the reason, because I wasn't from the right family. I wasn't right from the right area of the world. I live in Pennsylvania. What Pennsylvania racers make the World Cup?
Yeah.
You got to be from Vermont or Colorado or Maine, something like that. Those are World Cup racers, not the Pennsylvania guys,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So this is mindset, right? Drives you nuts. But as you believe here, you get in your life. It wasn't until later in life. I was like 34, 35 when I raced the World Cup.
Wow.
It wasn't until later. I finally go, oh my God, Randy, duh. Really? You really think it's because of where you are? No matter where you're born in the world, you were born in the geographical center of the world. It's the same distance from every spot, from every other spot. It doesn't matter where you start, it matters where you're going. So to change my mindset, what I did was I wrote on my mirrors everywhere, Randy Dietrich is a World Cup ski racer, everywhere. And first you read it and there's this twinge. You kind of don't believe it. You get this pushback from your subconscious. It's like driving a car saying, I like myself. If you ever do that and you feel weird, it's because your subconscious is clashing.
Yeah.
But if you can drive in the car and go, I like myself, it doesn't feel weird, that means you believe it.
Yeah.
I tell everyone, test it. And if you don't, if it clashes, say it again and again and again every single day you're in a car. Because
yeah.
eventually it'll switch. And sure enough, Tiff and I were at a race. I was at a race in Oregon. And in that one single race, they go, holy cow, you took down the whole Canadian team. They go, you're going to go to the next World Cup up in Canada. I'm like, oh my gosh, you'd be kidding me.
Wow.
Like, I got a wife and a medical company. Like, what's going on? You know, right? It's crazy. You know, and now I've set a new goal. You know, I want to be the oldest guy to race the World Cup. So I've signed up for 3 NORAMs in Canada and 3 NORAMs in America. And the first race is in Canada. It happens like January 12th.
Wow.
Yeah, it's because my little girl Maggie got skiing. She's 9.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so she got skiing. I'm like, I'm going to race with her. And just like that, I was hooked again. So, I'm like, oh my gosh. So now, like, you know, I went to Australia this past summer, you know, do some racing there. And yeah, I still race like I'm in my 20s. So why not?
Wow.
Yeah.
How old are you now?
47.
Wow.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Right.
So like, did you ever stop, or was there like a time gap? Or
oh, yeah. Kind of like, oh. Stopped huge.
Oh, you did?
So
okay.
Here's what's crazy.
Back to it.
Oh, man. So coming out of high school, I didn't even ski for 9 years. Oh, not wow. once. 9 years.
Yeah.
Then got back in, and I raced a little bit. Right. I did like slalom, giant slalom, and then I got into ski cross, and that's when I really took off. Because ski cross is four guys one time out of the gate. It's like motocross meets ski racing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so four guys, top two advanced, bottom two are bumped out. Yeah. And that's where it's like it's head-to-head. You get instant feedback, and it's either make it happen or you don't. You know. And that's where I really thrived in that world.
How dangerous is that?
I mean, ski cross racing, there are more injuries than normal ski racing.
Yeah.
There is.
Any injuries in your career?
I've gotten hurt here and there.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've hurt my back. I've torn ligaments in my knee.
Yeah.
I've broken toes. Mm-hmm. Toenails fell off.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's nothing like, you know, nothing giant.
Right.
You know?
When you're on top of that mountain, like, do you feel fear and you just have to go right through that fear? Or are you just so confident and you just know your ability that like, yo, I got this?
So, well, depends on the field. So, yeah. You know, confidence comes through preparation, right?
Sure.
That's it. And a lot of times at a World Cup level, everyone's the same. At a World Cup level, every single athlete can run a 400 meter in under a minute. Yeah. They all can do 150 push-ups. They all can do 30 pull-ups. Everyone's physically the same. Mm. The difference is what's going on inside your head.
Yeah.
Because you're traveling over a mile, and your average speed is probably around 50-some miles an hour. And the difference between first and last is less than a second. Mm. So the only thing that's separating you is what's happening here. You know, and that it's a mental game. Yeah. You know, so at a World Cup level, those guys do have me, to be honest. It's not my life right now. They're living it every single moment of their life. Mm. I'm not. I'm running a winery. I got three kids. I got my wife, you know, and so on. But I can still play their game. And that's what I love. I can get in their field and play in their game a little bit. Mm. You know, they just let me in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the goal. You know, I want to play in the game. And what I want to do, the reason I'm doing this is the next book that I write, I want to have a chapter in there about how age doesn't matter. About how when you are 47, people go, man, I'm so old. I'm in my 40s now. It's like, oh my gosh, when were you aware of yourself? Like in your 30s? And you're only 10 years later, now you're too old? Like, this is crazy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's just, it's pure mind. You know, I mean, it's just right now, like with training for this, I got my 5K run at about even 21 minutes, you know, which back when I was in my 20s, I wasn't running that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like my 400 meter is 57. You know, so it's like,
yeah,
it's right, good. It's right. Good. It's something that there's a book out there. I forget the name of it. The Magic of Thinking Big. You know the book? Yeah. He talks about how we will either find a way or we will find the excuse.
Yep. Yep.
And most people find the excuse of my age or my health or my this or whatever it is, or I've too much responsibility. Well, there's your excuse. Put it in your pocket and live with it now.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's too bad.
Yeah.
People will either step into their life or they're going to step back into fear through the excuse.
Yeah.
And I say, just step into your life. That's it.
Yeah.
When you feel fear, that's proof that you're right on the edge of excitement. Mm-hmm. There's times at a ski race, I would try to make myself feel nervous. You know, because in racing in the Northeast in Pennsylvania, I was like, there's a whole point system. And if you go into the race and you're the top point guy, you know you're the top dog. And as long as you perform the way you know you will, you'll win the race. Mm-hmm. And there's times I go to a race and I'd be like racing 50 points. The next closest guy is 100. And, you know, zero is the best, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I know no one can touch me. So like you go into, and you can mess around and have fun. But, you know, the goal, there's a saying from John Maxwell. He goes, if you're the best in the room, you're in the wrong room. You know, and that's the key. Step out of your comfort zone and get into the next room. And that's my goal with the World Cup guys.
Yeah.
I want to step in their room.
How have you done that in business in terms of surrounding yourself with people and being mm-hmm. trying to be the dumbest one in that room?
So, yeah. So in business, my turn name is Dick James. You'll Dick James. I love that guy. He'll tell you that when I do a project, I will learn more about that project than anyone else knows in the world. To the finest little details. So really, because knowledge will decrease your risk, right? Mm-hmm. And knowledge builds confidence and so on. So when it comes to business, it's not like I hang around other people that I want to be like, but I listen to people that I want to be like. Because I want to be like John Maxwell. John Maxwell's like my hero. You know, I want to be like my mom. You know, and these are the people that I emulate. I want to be like Dick James. You know, it's more of that. You know, I want to be like Jesus. You know, so you read your Bible.
Yes.
It's the best motivational book ever written.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, you want to understand the world? Read your Bible.
Mm.
You know, so that In business, that saying I live by, do what you can with what you have right where you are. Never overextend. I believe in peace of mind. When you make decisions based upon your own long-term peace of mind, you're making a decision that's good today for tomorrow. Because I basically want to live with the future Randy I'm creating.
Yes.
So you don't want to create a person today by decisions you make that tomorrow you're going to hate yourself.
Yeah.
And you're living this just torture. You know, peace of mind trumps it all. You know, peace of mind is doing the right thing today and tomorrow by everyone around you, no matter what the cost. I mean, today I had to give a guy bad news. It was the right thing to do. Yeah. I said, hey, I'm really sorry, man. You know, but there's a saying, Brene Brown says it, you know, clear is kind, cruel is unkind. You know, so within business, I would say that the success of business, it's, I don't want to say it's come easy, because I work really hard at Blue Ridge. Yeah. You know, it's like always, like people, like Sally, they'll go, my God, like you look, you know, like you'll go out there and you, like I'll dig holes for 15 hours straight, you know, yeah. You know, before it's light and after it's dark. And, you know, and I joke about how I can dig the best hole ever, you know, but there's pride in it. There's pride in doing everything, doing the job to the best of your ability, because every single job we do, it's like we signed it, our signature's on that.
Yeah.
So even if I'm digging a hole, I want people to walk away and go, man, that's the best hole I've ever seen. It's like, oh yeah, Randy Dietrich dug that hole. You know what I mean? Right? I mean, but that's the key. That's the key to the whole darn thing, you know, and when you do polish the other side of the banister, the top side is definitely polished. Everything counts in business. People think I can just coast. I can just do the same as I did yesterday. There is no such thing. Because if we're coasting, we're going downhill.
Yep.
And everything in this world, everything, it doesn't matter if it's the trees, the grass, people, businesses, it is living, it is growing, or it's dying. Nothing is staying the same.
Right.
The grass is growing or dying. Trees are growing, right? We're growing or dying. And if people think, well, I'm just going to maintain, I'm sorry, but you're slowly dying. You're becoming obsolete. You know, I talk about the rate of change in one of my podcasts, where the rate of change in this world is happening around us. Nobody can stop the rate of change, right?
Right.
No one can. And that means if a business isn't changing faster than the outside world, the business is becoming obsolete. And if the people within that business aren't changing faster than the business, the people are becoming unemployed. So the closer it becomes to the human heart, the faster the rate of change must be.
Yeah.
And that's it. So embrace it. I say embrace the challenge. Mm. You know, like we were born for challenges. When you think about it, we were born with challenges. We were first challenge, hold your head up. Second challenge, walk. Third challenge, talk. Just keep on taking on those challenges. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, life is so simple when you think about it. It really is.
I love it. Yeah. And so all the ski racing that you did over those years and came back and forth to, and what did you learn in those ski racing years that directly impacted business? I know we talked a little bit about that, but there's a couple of lessons that you learned during that to then translate it directly into business.
Yeah. Yeah. The very biggest one happened at the top of the Alps in Italy. So we're at the mountain, big deal, right? Giant European World Cup, right? You get there, top 100 guys in the world at this race. I've been training for 5 years to get to this moment, working like crazy, thinking, man, I've finally arrived. Oh my gosh, we've made it. You know, and I get on the chairlift, I'm riding at the lift, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, look at this. You know, my skis are shiny, they're waxed. You know, I got the whole team behind me and we're ready. And I get down there and I stand at the top of the course and it all deflates. I think, oh my God. It had nothing to do with arriving. It was who I had to become in the process. It's the journey that matters. Because it doesn't matter what goal you set, the moment you achieve that goal, either you will break it or someone else will. And it's just like that in business.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you arrive to. The goal doesn't matter. It's who you become in the process of getting there.
Yeah.
It took me going all the way to the top of the Alps to stand there and go, you got to be kidding me.
Wow.
I remember thinking, I was the same person during this process that I am right now. There is no magical moment. And then the second thought was, holy cow, I hope I never arrive.
Yeah.
Because the day you arrive is the first day of the end. Mm. Right. It's the striving that matters. It's who you need to become in the process. That's all it is.
I hope the listeners are hearing that because it's so true. They think that once they get to that goal, the top of that mountain, that everything is going to be okay.
Right.
And it's not.
No.
It's not. You're like, it's the journey. No. It's the becoming that is the most important part.
Right. Right. It's something, you know, and what proves that fact is literally every single record that is set today in the world will be broken.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what you accomplish, someone's going to beat you at some point. So it's never like I've arrived and now I'm great.
Yeah. I can just sit back now. I made it.
Right. Right. Yeah. The biggest challenge I've seen people with that mindset and what happens to them is their ego takes over their life.
Yeah.
And the moment you have an ego, your primary role is to protect your ego.
Yeah.
And when you're protecting your ego, you're not willing to take a risk because I might lose and I might damage my ego.
Yeah.
So people with an ego, they only ever accomplish one major thing and it's, life is downhill from there.
Hmm. How do you explain the ego?
Man. So the ego is what success is. Success is what I do for me.
Right. It's attached to pride.
But ego, pride. Yeah. Well, yeah. I have pride in my book. I've written a book. Sure. I've worked 2.5 years to write that book. I'm very proud of that book.
Yeah.
But the book does not make Randy great. Mm-hmm. You know, I always tell people, be very careful. You never attach the talent or the effort to the person.
Yeah.
It's two separate things. At the winery, people go, you're so great, Randy. You go, not really. Not really. I have all the same fears you do. I put my shoes on the same way. I sleep the same way. I do everything the same way.
Right.
That's all it is. Yeah. It's you're seeing a side effect of efforts I put in. Right. That's what you're really seeing.
Yeah.
But I argue with my wife. I make wrong decisions with my children. I do all the same mistakes you do. You're just seeing the good side right now. Right. Don't ever mix it up. Mm. You know. But ego, man. So success is what I do for me. Significance is what I do for you. Ego is what I do for me. Significance is the service I provide to you. There's a major difference between the two.
Yeah.
And in today's world, the world's confusing fulfillment with success. They think when I accomplish this, I will feel good.
Yeah.
No, you won't. You ain't gonna. It's just I can tell you, I've been at the top of the Alps. It doesn't change a thing.
Yeah.
I've arrived. And when you stand there, it doesn't feel any different. Mm-hmm. There's zero, nothing. And then you realize, man, I see the chills. I got goosebumps. It's not until you realize it's the value I add to the world around me that stays with me.
Purpose,
legacy. Mm. John Maxwell is saying, your legacy needs legs. Who are you adding value to?
Yeah.
Who's going to carry it on? Mm. My mom died 17 years ago. And it was 17 years ago tomorrow.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah, crazy, right?
Yeah.
And my mom's influence in the world today is grander than it was when she's alive because she achieved significance.
Yeah.
Not a lot of success. When it comes to success, my mom was very unknown. She did local angel tree ministries in the area. So a lot of the, you know, like the prison inmates knew her, you know, and the children knew her. But it wasn't like the world knew of my mom as an inspiration role model. But it's because who she was of what became. Mm-hmm. And now her legacy has legs.
Yes.
And this book that I just gave you, Exposing the Roots, that is the story of my mom's life.
Wow.
That book is going to go to the moon.
Yeah.
It's really something. Do you know that one of the editors for John Maxwell edited my book?
Oh, wow.
Isn't that awesome?
That is so awesome.
So awesome.
Full circle.
She was so excited when she told me. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. I didn't even plan on that.
Yeah.
Here's what's another crazy thing about that book. Remember I told you my mom died 17 years ago tomorrow. Tomorrow's the date. And by the way, I forget that date. I don't remember negative dates. Mm-hmm. Anyone listen to this? Forget negative dates. Yeah. Don't let it burn your mind.
Yeah.
Forget it. Yeah. If you asked me a week ago, hey, what's the date your mom died? I'd go, I don't know. I don't remember it. Usually most years it comes and goes and I don't remember. But Tiff and I were in Florida last week and she happened to go, hey, what's the date your mom died? Because your book's coming out and it's around that time of year. I go, I don't know. I Google it. Look up the obituary. There it is. I'm like, wow, the 28th. 28th. That's next Wednesday. I'm like, wait a minute. What was the date that mom's body crashed in the hotel room or in the hospital room? I look it up. Like, you gotta be kidding me. The date that book was released was the exact date my mom's body crashed, that she went down to intensive care. Mm. And the opening story of that book is the moment mom's body crashed.
Wow.
17 years to the day.
Wow.
I had no plans of doing that.
Wow.
It just, I'm looking at it going, you gotta be kidding me. That you know, the opening story is, and that's how this book was born. You know, I'm like, wow, to the day. It's really something.
Unbelievable.
Crazy.
But things are sticky with ski racing versus business. Number one, there is no arriving. It's the striving that counts. It's who you become in the process. It's where your business is going rather than where it's going to end up. Yeah. The other one is it takes a team to accomplish anything grand. No one's way too small of a number for greatness. You know, so anyone that says, yeah, I'm a self-made man. No, you're not. Like, I'm sorry. It doesn't work like that. You know, there is no self-made people. You know, if someone says I'm a self-made man, they got an ego problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's the truth. So, I mean, every person has ever achieved anything great. They have a giant team.
Yes.
They're on people's shoulders along the way. Mm. And anyone sets out in business saying, I'm going to do it all, they're not going to be very good. You know, what you do is you figure out what you're good at and then only do those three things, you know, top three things you're good at, and then find other people to fill in your weaknesses. Yeah. And then what you do is you stand in front of your team and go, guys, this is all I'm good at. I'm only good at communicating. I'm good at a vision, and that's about it. Everything else I'm bad at. Please fill in my gaps. And if you find someone else that needs a job that can help, get them on our team. And always and know this, in business and in ski racing, like attracts like. Who you are as a person is exactly what your business will be. Every business that exists is the shadow of an individual. That's it. So whoever you are, whatever your weaknesses are, whatever your character is, that's what your business is. So if you're a little shady and you're a little not quite right, neither will your business, and you will not be in business. But if you're authentic, you're true, and you're honest, and you're commit to people, and you if it's to be, you're going to say it, and they can trust you, so will the whole world see your business like that.
So good.
Every single thing about a person is magnified through their business, kind of like a V going out from their heart.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Right. I love when people say, you know, I live my personal life and I live my business life. And I'm like, okay, I get that. But a business, to your point, mm-hmm. is a magnification of who you are,
right?
This is just a bigger stage.
Yeah.
That's all. You can just impact more people with it.
Yeah.
So to keep them both separate is insane.
That's insane. You're one person.
Yes.
Anyone that's trying to, I mean, you're basically living a double life. You're trying to split yourself.
Yep.
And, you know, that's like trying to live 2 days at one time. Yep. You can't, right? I mean, we live, you know, you live one person. You know, John Maxwell, he wrote a book called Ethics. Mm-hmm. And originally they asked him, they go, can you write a book called Business Ethics? He goes, I don't think I can. There's no such thing. Yeah. There's just ethics. It's like, I can't write business ethics, you know?
Yeah. But yeah. So good. So obviously very successful in what you've done. You're an incredible speaker, communicator, all of that. So now you translate that into the customer experience at the Vineyard. I know it sounds like that's been always part of your journey. Like you're always part of your gift to give. People come to this vineyard in the middle of these cornfields and mm-hmm. they just have this experience. Mm-hmm. I know my wife and I did, and every time we come, we do. Right? And it's like you're always up in the game, always pushing it to the next level. Every time we come, there's a new area, there's a new experience, there's mm-hmm. a new this, there's a new that. And so how do you focus and get the information you need to make sure that customer is feeling something new and exciting each and every day? And I'm asking that because the listeners out there that are running small businesses, oftentimes they get so focused on their service, they don't think about the customer's experience within that service. Mm-hmm. They think about how to bring it in cheaper, how can we bring it in faster? But wait a minute, we got to stop and think about Mrs. Jones because she's going to be part of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to transform their backyard or build whatever, it doesn't really matter. If you can't give her an experience that she's going to remember,
mm-hmm.
then your whole entire referral machine is going to be broken, right? This mm-hmm. whole concept of others saying, wow, this is amazing. And they're not going to think about the cost or the speed. They're going to think about how they felt during mm-hmm. that time, which is what you focus on.
Yeah.
Right? So
right.
The customer experience, how do you stay on the breaking edge of that customer experience? And how do you get the feedback you need in order to keep pushing it forward to know what your customers want?
Sure. I love that. That's a really good one. My mind was jumping all over the place as you're talking.
Yeah.
You know, and I have a chapter in the book called the 2% rule.
Okay.
And at Star Medical, we live by it, and at the winery, we live by it. In this world, people expect 100%. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, they might think, I might not get 100%, but if they get 100%, we're even. You know, like if they buy a bottle of wine, they pay 20 bucks, they get the bottle, I got my bottle of wine, we're even. I got 100% of what I expected. If you can take that one step further and go 2% more, the 2% is what stands out. Mm-hmm. So if I was a contractor to build a deck on someone's back porch, and I sign a contract with them to build a deck. The deck costs 10 grand. We build a deck. I would also build them planters that hang on the deck for free. And then I would check back with them about 2 weeks later to see if there's any nail pops anywhere. That's the 2%. Yeah. That's the 2% that go, who does that?
Yeah.
Who builds free planters and then checks back to see if any nails popped? Just want to make sure we're looking all good here.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. That stands out. Yeah. And in today's world, service is everything. I mean, service is so bad right now. You know this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my goodness. I mean, we stayed at a pretty fancy hotel down in Florida, and good luck if they get your order right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you better check it because it's just not going to. They could care less,
yeah.
You know? And if you care enough to get 100% plus the 2%, in the medical world, we would deliver the hospital bed and then say, is there a vacuum nearby? I'd like to vacuum the floor before we leave. And we vacuum. Who does that?
Yeah.
So what happens in this world, people generally, as a rule of thumb, don't trust businesses. As a rule of thumb, you'll turn on the news tonight, some CEO is going to jail,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's this distrust among corporations and the general public, right, as a whole. But you know what everybody trusts? Their friend's opinion.
Yeah.
You trust your friend's opinion. So if I can get you to say to your friend, you need to go check out Blue Ridge, mm-hmm. you'll come to Blue Ridge,
yep.
Right? So rather than me spending advertising dollars, which I never have,
yeah.
I put all the money that I ever spent in advertising in how can I make the winery an experience that they will never forget? How can I make it where they show up to taste wine and they get immersed in this thing that's like so over the top that they go, you've just got to go and feel that place. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, and in business, as I said before, everything counts. We probably have about 200 speakers at the winery. They're everywhere. Because I want you to, wherever you walk, it's the same sound everywhere.
Yeah.
The lighting systems at the winery, it's control their phone. I can make it brighter or dimmer everywhere. At the winery right now, you know the tree line way off in the distance? Mm-hmm. There's uplighting on those trees.
Yeah.
Hardly anyone ever notices it, but their subconscious notices it.
Yeah.
It makes it just more brilliant because the whole tree line's lit up.
Yeah.
But no one goes, wow, look at that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Disney effect. You know, what you don't know does impact you.
Yeah.
You know, and I would say in business, live by the 2%. Figure out a way when you sign the contract, give more than what's expected.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Yeah. At the winery, we will always over pour a glass of wine. I've never once, not one time, ever got a complaint, oh, your pour's so small. Ever. I'd rather have them dump it out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We did a tasting with this fancy thing. We have a bed and breakfast over there. And we did this crazy thing. It was like a $270 ticket per person for this 7-course dinner, very exquisite. And we're testing out how big of a pour. And some of the people are going, that's so much, Randy. They're like, you're giving her like a bottle and a half of wine. I go, I know they're not going to drink it all. I'd rather have them dump it out. But I don't want anyone getting up going, I wish I had more of that. Yeah. And at the end of the dinner, sure enough, everyone had glass in their wine and every glass at the end of the dinner because you want to over deliver. You know, and that's the key in today's world. If you're a contractor and you're doing any job in a house, you're laying carpet, you lay the carpet, you come back a week later, just looking for wrinkles. Can I check your carpet? Can I restretch it? Can I make sure it's tight enough? Who does that?
Yeah.
They want to move on to the next one.
Yeah.
The saying is this, the bird in the hand is worth twice in the bush. And the person you serve is the one in the hand. Service them so big that they will tell everyone about you.
Yeah.
And it's really that simple. You know, I tell everyone at the winery, our driveway is selling the wine. Every single morning, we leaf blow the driveway. You won't find one pebble in that driveway.
Wow.
Anywhere. You won't find one leaf in the driveway right now or on the whole property, in the grass. You won't find a cigarette butt. It's that meticulous. It's everywhere because everything counts. In business, everything in life counts.
Yeah.
You know? So I always say to anyone that has a business, live by the 2% rule. Deliver your 100%, then just do 2% more. And it's very simple.
Yeah.
There's a neat story in the medical business. I used to do these beds called Clinitron beds. Very, very technological bed. It's called a sand bed. You float it on air. They cost like 50 grand a bed. Very, very high-end stuff. Very computerized. And they produce heat. So if you had a room like the size of a bedroom, you put in the room, the room's getting hot, right? And sometimes the patients, they wouldn't have an air conditioner strong enough to cool their room. And I've learned early on, when you deliver a Clinitron bed, you donate an air conditioner to the patient and you put it in their window for them.
Hmm.
So what happened was nurses started catching on. If you have a patient that has a hot room, call Randy. Get all your equipment from Randy. He'll give them an air conditioner. I gave away more $150 air conditioners than you could imagine.
$150,000 purchase.
Right, exactly. I mean, I would trade $150 for $100,000 of medical billing because I donated an air conditioner. Creativity is connecting the unseemly connectable dots.
Mm.
What needs to be thought that no one else thought? What problem exists that you can solve as a business owner? That's basically get out of your world. See your, you know, the problem that a lot of business owners have is they don't have an amateur mindset. They have a seasoned mindset and they get in these lanes and they think this is my world and I stay in my world. But if you can get out of your lane and think like an amateur and think like a beginner, now all of a sudden you see it through every angle in the world. And you can go, wow, how is it that an air conditioner is the key to medical billing of great products? Well, there it is.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, one time we rewired a patient's house, hired an electrician, come in, rewire the house because I wanted to have the patient out in the living room next to his wife. That patient told everyone.
Wow.
We gained unbelievable amount of referrals. You know, there's a story in the last lecture by Randy Pausch, how he tells a story about how the little trinket. So him and his dad and his mom and his sister, they would go to Disney World, and they're down there one day, and they were just old enough to let the kids run wild in Disney World, right? Mm-hmm. And the parents gave the kids $20 and said, you can buy anything you want as long as you agree on it. Great. So the kids go off, take off running, and they go into a store and they buy a little figurine.
Mm-hmm.
and they wrap it up and they're leaving the store, and Randy Pausch dropped the figurine and it broke on the ground. And another guest saw this and they go, why don't you just go back in and tell them what happened? And Randy Pausch goes, I can't, it was my fault. I dropped it. He goes, just explain what happened. So he did. He walks back in and goes, hey, I just got this. I dropped the figurine. And they go, we are so sorry. We're so sorry. Our packaging should have been better to withstand the excitement of a young child. Let us get you a new one. And they wrapped up a new one and gave it to him.
Yeah.
Well, Randy Pausch tells his dad that. He goes, that $20 figurine earned over $100,000 of tickets to Disney World because his dad brought every child from the school there for the next 15 years.
Wow.
This is how a business can convert $10 into $100,000.
Yeah.
Do the 2% more. Always do the 2% more. You know, in business, I don't mean to go on and on, guys. I've been going forever with this stuff. Business, yeah. I say this. The big things a lot of times crush the little things that matter. So in business, it's seen the focus on what costs a lot of money. Do we pay parking lots, build buildings, multi-$100,000 deals? They seem to be important. Those things mean nothing if you don't have the little things taken care of. And in business, every person every single day makes around 200 micro decisions. The little decisions to engage with each other, the little decisions to smile at your coworker, the decision to pour the wine at the right level, the decision to be prompt with their service. Those things add more than the big things. But business is focused on the big things, right?
Yeah.
The little things always trump the big things. And you know, there's a fact that proves that this is true. Proves it's true. You know how earthquakes and hurricanes, they're the big things. When they hit, they're big and they're grand. They cause a lot of damage. They wreck through the, you know, hurricane hit the south. Florida has disappeared. You know what I mean? But did you know, it's a true fact, termites. Termites actually cause more financial damage on a global scale than earthquakes and hurricanes combined. And they never make the news, right? You don't see it. They keep taking those little bites.
Yeah.
And there's the proof. The little things matter more than the big things. You know, I tell this story in the underground. I teach my kids this. I go, Maggie, baby, everything counts about you. Everything counts. She goes, what do you mean, Dad? I go, well, the way you carry yourself, your hand gestures, your voice, the words you use, how kind you are, your eye contact, everything's adding up to greatness or not so much. She goes, I don't know if I get it. Well, let me give you an example of everything counts. Imagine if you were to ask me, do you love me? And imagine if I responded to you, yeah, I love you. She goes, whoa, you didn't say it. I go, I know, because everything counts. Because the answer is, I love you so much. Yeah. She goes, now you said it. And is as it is in business, yeah, everything counts. I would tell every contractor, everyone that has a business, send a handwritten thank you note to your customer. Handwritten thank you note says, I appreciate you so much. I'm willing to give you a piece of my life.
Yeah.
I'm willing to sit down, go to CVS, buy that little blank car with a sunflower on it, and write a little note saying, dear Mr. Smith, I am so grateful I could be of service to you. I cannot express to you enough. You're providing my income. You're providing my life. My wife loves you. I love you. My kids are grateful. Thank you. And send it. Don't even ask for the referral.
Yeah.
Just say thank you.
Just be down.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's like magic. Do you know that at the winery, I've written notes to all the townships in the area because I want to thank them for taking care of the roads. I want to thank them for creating a community that a business like that can exist in. Because if they didn't do what they did, Blue Ridge wouldn't be able to be there.
Yeah.
I should be grateful.
It's grateful.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So important.
Big.
Fun stuff, right?
Really? Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's I mean, you can go on and on and on. But I mean there's I tell you, the best way to learn stuff, my book. I mean, the book I got, you know, book, Exposing the Roots. There's so many neat lessons in there.
Yeah.
You know, as I basically took 2.5 years of the best of the best. By the way, that book, when I first wrote it, it was over 700 pages. Hmm. It was, I mean, no, when we get through it, you know. The editors are like, oh my God, Randy. You know, we cut it down, and literally only the best of the best made the book.
Yeah.
And it's powerful stuff. If you have someone that is in business and they want to be, how can I make my business more successful? I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, but mistakes doesn't create learning. It's the reflection upon the mistakes that causes the learning. They say history is a great learner. No, it isn't. That means you would naturally get better as you age. That's not the way it works. Age happens naturally. Wisdom, maturity, understanding, follow through, commitment, pride. You have to work hard for that stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel like throughout my life, my mom has trained me, don't waste a minute.
Yeah.
Every second you have, pour something good into your mind. Because as you pour in, it will come out.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's just as a man thinketh. There's the book, right?
Yeah.
Mm. Right.
Wow. Good stuff, dude.
Yeah, thanks.
Really good stuff.
Right.
So if you could have one piece of advice for anybody out there that might be struggling in business, or in life in general, mostly toward business.
Yeah.
What would it be for them?
So if you're struggling in business and you don't have enough customers, or there's some sort of impediment in the business, there's some rock blocking the flow of business, I would look in the mirror alone, when you're in a room alone, I always look in the mirror and say, what is stopping you from being a success? And I promise you, you'll get the answer. We always know.
Yeah.
We always know. Stand in the mirror. Look in the mirror. What is stopping you from being a success? Most of the time, we're not willing to face ourselves.
Yeah.
And we bury our head. We hide from it.
Yeah.
We, you know, I can't say to them that this is your key. They know the key. Yeah. You know, I could tell you, I mean, see the chills I get? Yeah. I get goosebumps saying this stuff because, you know, I don't think that you could possibly ever have a successful, thriving business and not a good relationship with your wife. Yeah. I don't think it's possible to have a successful business and a bad relationship with your children. It's not possible to have a successful business and no relationship with God. So if you look in the mirror and go, what's stopping you from being a success in business? You will get the answer like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of times you'll go, no, it's not that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Right.
It's that thing you don't want to look at.
It is. It's that thing you don't want to look at.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they, yeah, there's that ancient Chinese saying, it says, know yourself, because you can't improve on something you don't understand. And that's why I say, look in the mirror and go, what is it? Yeah. And you'll know.
Yeah. That's big. That's big.
Well, Randy, I could talk all day to you. I know you're busy, man. And I appreciate you coming
this
out.
This is great stuff.
Yeah,
oh, my gosh. I love it, too.
Any more questions for me?
I can hammer it, yeah.
What do you got?
What does your faith mean to you?
Wow. Faith is everything. Faith gives you hope. Without faith, there is no hope in the future.
Right.
You know, faith is that Jesus came here and lived for me, and he died for me,
right.
So I should live for him.
Yeah.
And throughout our house, my mom used to have the saying, I am everywhere. Everywhere.
Yeah.
And it is the most powerful sentence ever spoken, you know, because when Jesus hung on the cross and they said, now, what do you think? Now, do you really say that you're the Son of God? And for him to sit there and go, I am, it means everything. Mm. It gives you hope in the future. It's very difficult to live in this world today and think this is all there is.
Yeah.
It's you want to live a life of doubt and fear and I'm going nowhere, then be someone that says, no, I don't believe. Because it actually takes a whole lot more faith to not believe than to believe.
Yeah.
To think that all of a sudden it's just kaboom, explosions, and all of a sudden perfection occurs. And all the times I've ever done fireworks at the winery, you know the big boom theory, right? Yeah. I've never done fireworks and seen little animals running around the field. I don't mean to make fun of it, but no explosion ever creates anything.
No.
It destroys things.
Yeah.
It doesn't put it together perfect.
Yeah.
You know, so my faith gives me hope. My faith allows me to know that one day I'll be able to hug my mom again.
Yeah.
You know, when my mom died, it was my faith that got us through that moment in unbelievable power, unbelievable strength. Because I wasn't there when my mom died. I was running to the hospital.
Yeah.
I was too selfish. I was on my way to a ski race. That's how selfish Randy was. I was going to a ski race, right? Doctor calls me. I was in Vermont. He goes, you need to get here now. And I literally like turned the car around while I was still on the phone and just started driving right back to Philadelphia. And called my brother, told him to get there. He got there. And it was dark by the time I got there. I jumped out of the car. I'm sprinting across the hospital. And when I walked into the intensive care room, I remember the feeling of the air blowing over my body. And time was against me all day. Like, I wish I could stop time. And I could look at the clock. Oh my God, 10 minutes passed. It's like, slow down, you know? And all of a sudden, time's racing all day because I can't get to the hospital fast enough. And in that second, time stopped. The moment it blew over me. And the nurse was at the end of the hallway. And with their hands clasped and their heads down, I had knew what happened. No one needed to say a word.
Yeah.
And I walked in the room, and they had already removed the breathing tube. And mom's laying there, and the room was in chaos. I've never seen crying like this. My brother, I never heard him wailing so hard crying, and his wife was there, and all my mom's sisters and her good friend Franny. And I walk into this scene, and here I am standing in the hallway just seeing this. And all I could say to them is, if you all could see mom through her perspective right now, you'd all stop crying.
Yeah.
just like that. Wow. The peace that came over that room, it was, I remember Britt looked up at me and he smiles and goes, oh my God, you're right. You're right. Mom's dancing with Jesus right now. Yeah. You're right. It's just like, it just, wow. The room just, when I walked up to her though, I remember putting my hand under her head. Yeah. Just, there was a little bit of warmth there still. And it was so vivid in me. I said it out loud to her. I said, Mom, I can't die with you. I have to live. Mom was training me my entire life for that moment.
Wow.
Be strong enough to see it, not through my perspective, but through God's perspective.
Yeah.
So faith got me through that moment.
It's amazing, man.
Yeah. Wow. But yeah, I remember the first time. In the underground now, I'm not shy about talking about God. Yeah. I was at one point. I was a baby, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time ever, I had this saying that I go, you know, my mom had a quote. She would go, "Your life is going to be so simple, because all you're going to have to do is simply pursue all the dreams you have, with every single bit of imagination that God gave you, and then don't ever, ever, ever let the false sense of fear interfere with your life."
Yeah.
And when I first was saying that that quote from Mom, I left the word God out. I was thinking, shame on you, Randy. I'd walk out and go, shame on you. And I remember the first time I said it, it was as if a lightning bolt shot through the room. Mm. You could feel the room just tingle a bit. Yeah. Faith is everything.
Yes.
Yeah. What else?
Incredible, man.
I like your questions. They're fun.
If you had to put a pin on it, what is your purpose?
To add value to people's lives. So my purpose is to add value to people's lives to help them achieve their dreams,
yeah.
To be very specific. Mm. I love to speak to young children that are in like the 10th, 11th grade, because that's the moment that a child will go from, I have hope in my future, to I have not so much hope in my future.
Yeah.
They'll go like, they'll start to turn a little bit and go, man, life has beaten me up. You know, and it might not be worth it.
Right.
You know, I heard this saying the other day called like couch rot. I never heard of this before. I'm like, what is that? I'm like, I did a podcast on it. I'm like, that's unbelievable. Someone would give up on their life and just sit on their couch.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, wow, you were born to move. Mm. Movement gives you energy.
Yeah.
You know, people think, well, I'm going to wait to be inspired. No, you're not. You're never going to be inspired. Yeah. Actions happen first, then feelings.
Right.
But a lot of times people get that confused, you know, because it happens when people fall in love. Because they fall in love and they're infatuated, and all these chemicals are being released in their body, and it gives them the chemicals that give them the action. Mm. That, you know, the feeling of being in love makes guys clean the house, buy roses, cook dinner. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And you're touching all the love languages, you know, okay. Along the way. And then what happens is those chemicals go away. They go, well, I don't feel so in love. And it's like, well, duh. What are you doing to feel in love?
Yeah.
You know, it's like I've never felt the pain in my finger before I swung a hammer and hit it. Right? It's action then feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's the same with everything in life. You know, you want motivation? Get moving. You'll get motivated just like that. Mm-hmm. And that's missing today. People don't understand that.
Yeah.
Big time. They're waiting to be inspired. I'm not even inspired. No. Start listening to a book today. You'll get inspired. Start feeding yourself something. Start doing something. Go out for a walk. Go for a run. Mm-hmm. Do push-ups. Anything. Just get moving. Movement, it's that saying, you cannot possibly steer a ship if it's not moving. Get moving. And then you can steer your life.
Yeah.
Right.
My question for you, it seems like you have so much information in your head. It's just a huge database. How do you retain all that information and just be so intelligent?
It's not intelligence. I didn't graduate high school until I was 20. You know that?
Wow.
20 years. I actually Googled it. I was so afraid they were to kick me out because I was too old.
So you got held back?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. I mean, growing up, oh my God, I got held back all the time.
Why is that?
My mom and dad were getting divorced when I was like 7. Okay. So I didn't go to school for like 3 years. You know, I didn't. In fact, Strasbourg High School, I was kicked out of school for fighting. I tell the story in the book. Oh, wow. Throwing rocks at kids. Yeah. And then I went to the Growing Concern over there in Readers.
Yeah.
Barb and Dave Gumper, my hero. There's a story. If you know Barb Gumper, right. There's a story about her in the book. Nice. And she saved my life. Truly did. One day I hit her son, Paul, with a rock right under the eye. and his eye was bleeding, and I was an ugly kid. I was so mean and nasty, as within, so without. So basically, I was expressing ugliness on the outside because I was ugly on the inside. Yeah. I was fighting with everyone. And here's Barb Gumper, the person that owns that school, and she's the teacher. And I just hit her kid with a rock and under the eye, and his eye's bleeding. And she has my arm, and she goes, "Can't you see you could have knocked his eye out?" She goes, "I can't believe this." And I'm thinking, "You're going to kick me out of here. It's over, isn't it?" And she goes, "I love him, and I love you. We're not doing this anymore." And I melted. I thought, "Oh my God, Barb, you make me cry." Because I thought, "Oh my God, like, she did take my ugliness and spit it back on me."
Yeah.
That was the first time in a public setting that someone didn't do it to me.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times ugly kids, they get beat up on, and then they get more ugly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just hurt her son, and she had every right to just tear me down and throw me out. And she looked at me and goes, "I love you." I never fought again.
That is so beautiful.
Man, but that's wow. Everything that's like I can talk to you about, it's my mom, guys.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you noticed, but I've been on her shoulders this whole time here. I realize that when you have someone like your mom in your pocket, you just pull her out and put her on the table and you just talk about her and all's well.
Yeah.
You know, and mom, if we weren't at church, mom had a sermon playing in the living room, in the car, everywhere. I mean, there was never a moment where it's not catching your ears, because she knew, as within, so without.
Yeah.
You don't change the inside. We don't see the world as we are. We see it. We don't see the world as it is. We see it as we are.
Yeah.
And if you can pour in the good, the clean, the pure, the positive, you're simply become that. So all this stuff that we can sit here and you throw out a topic and I can talk on it for a while. Mm-hmm. Driving here, I was listening to Les Brown. Mm. Every day,
yeah.
You know, you can become anything you want to be a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
You know, that's all it is. And I've just been compounding it for 20 years.
Yeah.
That's all it is. There's nothing more to it. But believe me, over at the winery, I'm the dumbest guy in the room. If you gave an IQ test, I'd score the lowest. Really? They're all smarter than me. Every one of them. My wife, Sally, Jeff, especially Tony, my God. You know, they all are. You know, but it's I don't know. Someone asked me one time, they go, "Why do you think you get to be the owner of the business?"
That's a good question.
I said, because I was willing to risk it all. That's really it.
Mm.
It doesn't take any smarts or talent or anything. You got to be a willing guy to lay your life on the line.
Yeah.
And go, "I'm going to live and die by this." Yeah. That's, isn't it?
Yeah.
When it all boils down to it, that's all it comes down to.
Yeah. And to hold that vision
into
everything.
Right, yeah. Right. To hold it and have a wife behind you strong enough to, 100%. When you collapse, she'll go, "No, stand up, open your eyes, stand up. You know?
This is not what we planned.
Right, right.
Get your ass
right,
up.
Right. So true, right? But yeah, you know, but I don't know. I would encourage people today, right now, make it a commitment to begin to download Audible books to your phone.
Yeah.
Every single week, I listen to 3 books.
Wow.
Right? So at the end of the year, you've taken in a lot of books, 50 times 3, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot of books.
Yeah.
So over the course of 20 years, if you look at my library, there's about 900 books there. Mm. And some of them listen to 5 and 10 times. I tell people, if you listen to a book enough times and you can talk along with it, now you really internalize it.
Yeah.
Like the last lecture, if you get me started, I can quote the whole book to you.
Yeah.
I've listened to that book that many times. Randy Pausch, that book. If you haven't downloaded audiobooks, start with the last lecture, Randy Pausch. And then go to Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl. You know, and then download some of the John Maxwell stuff. Download my book. It's a good one. You know? Right? You know? But you know, it's if you want whatever you want to become, feed your mind. You'll become that. You know, it's you know, they say, like, you know, you shouldn't ask someone, "Who do you want to be?" Because of course they want to be successful. I would say, "Who are you becoming today? What is your action points?" You don't look at a tree and go, "What fruit do you want to grow?" You go, "What are you growing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?" Because that's what you are. What are you growing?
Right.
You know what I mean? And
yeah,
it's, you know, you look at a tree by its fruit of what it's producing, not what it wants to be, you know? So it's, and it's so simple. Today's world is so, knowledge used to be trapped in the library.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know what I mean? You couldn't get to it. It was hard.
Yeah.
I remember going to the library and like, "Man, this is tough stuff." Now it could be 2 a.m, download a book, start listening to it. Yeah. Crazy, crazy. And there's no limits. There's no limits to how much you can learn. And learning is learning, whether you're in a car or in a classroom. One and one is still two, wherever you're at.
Definitely.
You know, so all this stuff is just a compounding effect. That's all it is. It's that momentum. You know, a train moving 50 miles an hour can bash right through a 10-foot brick wall. Mm. It's got momentum. It can bash through it. It keeps moving. You take a train that's not moving, little wooden block can stop it.
Yeah.
Ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
Get momentum in your life, and nothing will stop you. Mm. Right.
I love it.
What else? Anything else we can talk about?
No? No, I certainly appreciate you coming on. It's been amazing.
I'm grateful.
Randy. Yeah.
And, thank you. Thanks, guys.
You've dropped just nugget after nugget.
Yeah, I learned a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
How can people find you? They want to get your book and all that.
I have a website, randydietrich.bio.
Okay.
You Google my name. That page will be the first one, just Randy Dietrich. I'm usually at the Wine on the weekends. Especially Saturdays I'm there in the school season, Saturday and Sunday when in the summertime. They could do the Underground Experience. Got a podcast out there, Living on Purpose. But if they want to find me personally, just Google my name. I got a website. They could find me there. I do a lot of public speaking at schools and businesses. And, you know, you give me a topic and I will pour myself into it.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to touch their heart, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm grateful. My mission is to add value to the world.
Yeah.
With a humble heart, I come to be a servant.
And you're doing such an amazing job.
Love you guys.
Yeah. Love you too.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's been great.
Thank you, Joshua. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow.